There is a growing national trend by municipalities and homeowners alike to use rain gardens to help relieve flooding and pollution and all kinds of good things. And today on Garden Talk, we'll tell you how to add one to your landscape. I'm Jill Nadeau, and this is the Larry Mueller Show. Our guest is Ruth Boy. She has an academic background in environmental science and works as a permaculture consultant focused on practical, sustainable landscape solutions. She's a certified rainwater harvesting professional, and yes, we'll ask her what that means. And together with her husband, an engineer, designs and installs rain gardens throughout the county with Habitat Holistic Systems. What would you like to know about making a rain garden? Do you have a rain garden? How has it helped with runoff? Well, we'd like to hear from you, so join in by calling 800-642-1234, or you can send an email, and that's talk@wpr.org. Ruth, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I ran into your booth at the Garden Expo last weekend. I'm like, fun. This is something we need to talk about. So we're really glad that you were able to join us so quickly.
That's great. Thank you so much.
You bet.
It was a fun show.
Yes, it was. So tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get involved in environmental science and specifically permaculture?
Well, permaculture, I've always had a little bit of a background in finding out how things work, especially when it comes to gardens or our natural resources. Where are they going? What's happening? It's been a curiosity that I've had since I was a kid. When COVID happened, I had a little shift in careers, and I started investigating a little more about how to grow plants in a way that would benefit the environment a little more. And that's how I started researching about permaculture. That led me to Costa Rica, which is where I did my permaculture design certificate. But I still had a lot of questions because Costa Rica is a tropical country.
Very much so.
You can throw a seed out and it'll grow easily. So I had a lot of doubts and questions, and my trip led me to Montana, and I helped design and build a sustainable home out there in Montana. And during the build, a big fire burned through the landscape and took out all the native vegetation, the trees, the plants, everything was gone. Mm. Everything was barren. And Montana has a complicated landscape in certain areas. And this was the high altitude desert. So hard to grow stuff out there. Very cold, very windy. And that's when I decided, I wonder if permaculture can actually work. You know, I'm going to try and put what I have learned to practice out here. And so the first step in permaculture is planting water, is finding out how to get that water in the ground and where it comes from and the sources that will make the plants grow. So the first step that we did out there in Montana in this barren land was plant the water. And that's when I first experienced the actual benefits of permaculture, because we started planting in the berms and the swells, and the water started coming. A season later, everything where the berms were, where the swells were, was thriving. And so it was living proof of what I had learned, and it was practiced in a land that you would think would probably not grow anything. And it was beautiful, beautiful to watch all the plants come back so quickly by just planting that water.
Yeah, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. I love how you say planting water. I've never heard that phrase before. How do you plant water?
Well, you just like you do a plant, you plant a plant, you create a little hole for the plant to go in. Well, you want to put water where that hole is. So you dig a trench, a swell, and that's where the water will naturally flow. If you're getting the rain, it's going to fall in those swells.
Mm-hmm.
So planting is kind of a term that we play around with, because it's like you're creating that hole like you do with plants.
Absolutely. Now, you are a certified rainwater harvesting professional. Mm-hmm. So what are the requirements for that certification?
So there is the Watershed Management in Tucson has a certification where they take you through different steps of a homeowner, the water cycle in a homeowner, a homeowner's house. And they show you what steps you can take to create a cycle that's more beneficial, where you're not just wasting water. Sometimes we think water is magic. You know, we open up the faucet and there it is, there's water. So they start from the part of where is your watershed? Where is your local watershed? What is the closest watershed you have to you? And then where is your water going after you use it, from flushing the toilet to using it for laundry? They're putting it back and they're saying, what is going to happen once it goes back into the system? Is it going to go back clean? Is it going to just be wasted? And Tucson has a big problem with water. So this is a place where they have really developed some good strategies for harvesting water, for recycling water, and for creating sustainable solutions for homeowners.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of leads to your business, right? I mean, that's kind of what you do. So tell us about Habitat Holistic Systems.
So Habitat Holistic Systems, this is a combined effort between my husband and myself. He is an engineer. He has all the calculations. He does all the mathematical parts of the systems that we install. So we think of systems as different parts that function together to perform a service. And it can be from your body. Your body has all these parts that make up your body to work together and function in a way. Same thing with a house. A house has different parts that work together to function, from the water system to the electric system to even the garden system. So we called it Habitat Holistic Systems because of all these systems that we work on, which is from your garden and electricity and water. We create solutions that are a little more sustainable for the environment.
I thought that was a great marriage of both of your talents. And how long have you been doing this?
This is our third year as a business.
Okay. And mm-hmm. It's been doing well?
Yes.
Excellent.
It's growing. There's more interest.
Uh-huh.
I think there's always I think you take a step back to then take a big, giant leap forward.
True. You have to reassess all the time.
Yep.
All the time. So this brings us to rain gardens, which is what we're here to talk about. I think many people are familiar with what a rain garden is. But for those maybe who just have heard the term, not really sure what that means, why don't you explain what a rain garden is?
Okay. Well, you know what happens after there's a nice, big, heavy rainfall in your property? Have you noticed what happens in the driveway? There's all that water flowing as if it were a river.
Oh, yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. Eventually that water goes to the gutter, picking up all the pollutants on the way, from fertilizers to pet litter, anything that's on your driveway, untreated. And then after that, it goes into our beautiful lakes, creating all kinds of chaos. Right now, there's a lot of algae bloom in the lakes, unfortunately. And all this runoff is causing so many issues in the beautiful lakes. So what does a garden do, a rain garden do? Will infiltrate the water. It'll catch the water before it hits that rain gutter, and it'll infiltrate it, filter it, and then refill the natural aquifers and preventing it from getting to our lakes.
So basically it's going to be soaked up in this grasses and plants and soils and not go to the gutters.
That's right.
That's the main thing.
Yes, it is it has a shallow depression to it. So it's got about a 6 to 8 inches depression in the garden so that it will collect the water, and you're planting some nice native plants in there. Native plants tend to have a long taproot, and this creates an easy infiltration into the garden.
Mm-hmm. So we know that keeping the water out, or the runoff out of our gutters, which leads to our lakes and whatnot, is good for the environment. Why is it good for the homeowner besides the greater good?
Yeah, well, especially the homeowners here in the Greater Lakes region, I think we're all people that love water, love our lakes. And so we're doing our own part taking a small step to keep those lakes clean by installing these rain gardens. Another benefit that it provides is if you're planting those native plants, you're bringing in pollinators that are beneficial. So if you have a veggie garden, then it'll benefit your veggie garden. You're bringing those pollinators in. If it also adds beauty and interest to your landscape. You can do so many things with rain gardens. There's different ways of planting them, from just putting in grasses to putting in all sorts of different flowers and creating different palettes.
We are talking about rain gardens today with our guest, Ruth Boy. She's a certified rainwater harvesting professional with Habitat Holistic Systems. What questions do you have about creating a rain garden in your landscape? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. And of course, you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. And this is Garden Talk on The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Najoe. Join us again next week. Diana Alfuth is going to be with us, and she'll be taking your gardening questions. And I think we'll ask her about starting seeds, because it's getting to be that time. But right now, we are talking about rain gardens. Ruth, let's get to the basics here. I'm a homeowner. I've got this, you know, spot that gets wet when it rains, and it's, you know, whatever. How do I know how big to make it, and how do I know where the right spot is? What do you do when someone calls you in?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think the first step that you have to take is finding out if you're allowed to place one.
Oh, really?
Different neighborhoods have different codes, different regulations. They vary. So First finding out if that's allowed. Next step I would take is to call. Who are you gonna call?
Not Ghostbusters.
The Diggers Hotline, just to make sure that everything is safe. You don't want to hit any electric lines or anything underneath.
Yeah.
And once you have those two steps cleared, then the next step would be making a small calculation to find out how much water comes off of your ceiling. So it's really interesting. You can get up to 650 gallons of water from an 1,000 square foot roof.
Wow.
So you're getting a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
There's small calculations you can make to find out the sizing. One would be the area, the volume and area of your roof. So you would measure first the width and the length, and then you would multiply that by
0.623.
That's right. This is the volume. And then you would get the size of the rain garden that you can make.
Okay.
But it can be anywhere from 3 feet to a lot bigger, you know. You can work with the land and your property to there's really no mistake in making it bigger. If you make it bigger, you're okay.
And
there is a rule of thumb.
Okay.
You want to at least put it 10 feet away from your building or from your neighbors.
Now, what about like a bigger yard or where people are out in the country? There's going to be not necessarily runoff from your home, but just a low area in your on your landscape. So is it similar to what you would do to create?
Yeah. If you have a bigger land to work with, you can also use the bigger brother of a rain garden is a bioretention cell. So
okay.
You can make a bigger basin and plant in that.
So once you find out how big it is, what do you do next?
The next step would then be to dig out at least 6 to 8 inches of soil. So if you're working with lawn first, you want to pull the lawn out. We usually separate that because there's good topsoil we can reuse for planting after. So we'll take out the grass, make sure all those roots are out, and then plant, and then dig a little deeper, six to eight inches down, and then start the planting.
Okay. Do you have to put anything in there, like gravel or?
No, it's actually, well, there is engineered gardens where you make them a little deeper if you're wanting to collect more water. Rain gardens can be from very, very simple to a little more complex, depending on what the purpose of the homeowner is.
So, is this something the homeowner should be trying to do themselves, or?
Yes. If you can dig, you can make a rain garden.
Okay.
There's no liners, no pumps, no complicated situations when it comes to a rain garden. It really is just a shallow depression. When you're making that depression, that water is going to collect.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to divert your downspout, or if it's already on a slope, maybe you're just using the water that collects in the or flows through the lands to collect in the rain garden. But if you want to divert the water from the roof, and that's preferably what we're wanting to do. We're wanting to get that water from an impermeable surface mm-hmm. and bring it into the rain garden. You'll divert it to the rain garden. A lot of people get creative with this. They can make little dry beds, like little rivers that flow into the rain garden, or you can just use piping.
Okay. We've got a phone call. Deborah in Racine. Go right ahead with your question.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. So I bought and moved into a house about 5 years ago, and it has an established rain garden on the corner. And I was very excited, never knew about it. I was very excited about it, and I still am excited about it. The problem is that whoever planted it put in what I know now is prairie cordgrass. So it is very tall, and it is very deep rooted, and it is taking over the rain garden. So and I am in the middle of an urban environment, so I cannot burn, but how do I control that grass from taking over the whole area?
Yes, this is a great question. Actually, a lot of people think that if they install a rain garden that it's going to be a hands-off, no maintenance garden. Well, anything that we have made as humans requires maintenance. And I experienced that in my garden, too. There are plants that will grow more aggressively than others. And you do have to manage it. You have to start planting in other plants to start competing with the plants that are a little more aggressive. So what I would do in your case, I would before you get into that growing season, when you start to see that grass is starting to wake up from the winter, you want to plant in some other plants that you would like to see in the rain garden, so they start to compete with this grass. You will have to probably dig out some roots, but if you get bigger plants that get established before that grass can start getting the water, getting the sunshine in, you could probably have better competition when it comes to managing this grass that can be a little more aggressive. Mm-hmm. So I have that with goldenrod. It can be a fast grower and it can take over the rain garden. So I have to manage it. I have to get some other plants in there before it gets really big, and that will compete nicely with goldenrod.
Okay, well, good luck, Deborah. And normally we would say, well, if you want to get rid of the weeds, you may, put mulch on it, whatever. Can you do that in a rain garden?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
You can put mulch. During the first year, it would be important to put mulch, especially if you're just putting in little plugs. You don't want to leave that soil barren.
Mm-hmm.
So putting in mulch helps to protect the soil and to build the soil in the rain garden. I love living mulches, so you would want to maybe put in a few ground covers, and maybe by the second or third year, you already have some nice green mulch covering the rain garden.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. And a listener called but couldn't stay with us, and they said that the dominant source of runoff is agriculture and construction. So rain gardens are great, but they don't address the largest contributor to lake pollution, which are these agriculture and construction. What could be done to affect change on a larger scale beyond a personal rain garden? That's a little outside of what we want to talk about, but...
Yeah, definitely. There is storm management professionals that handle bigger projects when it comes to parking lots or buildings, projects that are bigger that create the storm basins, which kind of mimic the same thing that a rain garden does. It infiltrates the water. And they're now experimenting with new methods to filter out PFAS, which are non-biodegradable substances that remain in the water. And so it's really interesting. I'm always on the lookout for these new ideas and new techniques that they're using to filter out these pollutants.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, totally agree. there's so much we can do, but homeowners can take this small step, you know. And if can you imagine if one out of every five homeowners puts in a rain garden, the impact we can have on cleaning up our waters is going to be huge.
Definitely.
So just taking small steps, a lot of people.
There you go.
That change.
Okay, so let's talk about plants, all right? Mm-hmm. Now, there's different environments. So let's just talk about a nice sunny spot to put a rain garden. What are some of your favorite plants to use?
Okay, that's a great question. Now, this is a hard one because I love so many different plants.
Yeah, we're all in the same boat.
But if you have already identified where you want to place your rain garden, then you, if it has enough sun or if it's shade, it really depends on where you're placing it. You can really play around with the palette. Some of my favorite are definitely sedges and grasses. I really like working with grasses, and any plant that's in the carex family is definitely going to be on my list. Some I can name out of the top of my head is Pennsylvania grass, rosy grass. Of course, a crowd favorite is the purple coneflower, echinacea. You have, let's see, butterfly weed. I really love butterfly weed. I love the seed pods that come in the fall. And the rain garden has so many textures when it comes to the different seasons. You can also play with that, you know, if you're wanting to bring in different sizes of seed pods in the fall, then you can also change up the plants. I love the sedges because once winter hits, you can really you think winter is probably the most boring time for the garden, but rain gardens, if you're putting in those sedges and those textures, it actually becomes a beautiful winter landscape.
Absolutely. We're big fans here of, you know, not cleaning up the garden in the fall.
Yeah.
Because it does. It just looks so much more interesting.
It does.
So when it comes to the design itself, you know, when we design a bed, you know, we have a higher plants in the back and lower in the front. What do you do with a rain garden?
You can also play with that. Depends where you're putting it. If it's in the front lawn, then you're getting a view from the people walking on the sidewalk. So you want to kind of maybe put the taller plants towards the side of the house, and so you're getting a full view of the dimensions of the plants when you're walking by it. Mm-hmm. So I think what we like to look at is, where is it going to be observed from? You know, if you're putting those really tall grasses in the front, it looks like a wild, crazy garden, you know, but if you're really working with the visual aspect, then you can really organize the plants to where you're seeing a nice organization of plants. Now, planting in groups is really important as well when you're working with natives, because it gives it that tidy look, and you can identify weeds easily because weeds won't grow in bunches.
That's true. That's a really good point. Although there's the weeds that look like your plants.
That's right. That's right.
I've noticed that a lot. It's like, but that looks just like, no, it's not. It's a weed. So,
yep.
Now, what about for shady areas? Do you have some plants that you like to use there?
Yes, there is. There is plants. American ginger is a great plant you can put in a shady rain garden. So there is also lobelia likes to keep its... A lot of people think that you can only use plants that like to have wet feet, but actually the rain garden needs plants that can tolerate wet conditions as well as dry conditions. So you need resilient plants, and these tend to be natives. You don't only have to plant natives, but they're the plants that are going to benefit the most and make it easier in your green.
Yeah, because the whole point of a rain garden is that it doesn't stay wet.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's supposed to infiltrate, which is an important point when you're deciding where to place it.
Right.
You don't want to put it anywhere where you're seeing the water's not going down.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not infiltrating, that's not the place you want to put it. There's a little test you can do. You can dig out a hole about 6 inches deep and fill it up with water. If the water hasn't gone down within 6 hours... then within 24 hours, then it's not the spot that you want to put a rain garden in. If it's gone by 6 hours, it's perfect conditions.
Okay, well, that's good to know, because even though it would seem like it's a good spot, not necessarily be a good spot.
Right.
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 Now, what about earlier you had mentioned about driveways? Is that going to stop it I mean, a rain garden's going to stop it from the roof, but what about other areas your landscape?
Definitely. You can. It depends on the slope. Mm-hmm. If you have a nice little slope in your area, you want to direct the water to the rain garden, you can use a dry bed, kind of a riverbed, to direct the water to the rain garden. There is different ways you can divert water, definitely, to the rain garden.
Okay. Well, we've run out of time, basically. So thank you so much
fast.
For coming in. Yep. We'll have you back because I think people are going to have more questions about it. So go out and experiment, and then we'll have Ruth back, and then you can ask her questions.
Yep.
Ruth Boy is a certified rainwater harvesting professional with Habitat Holistic Systems. Just want to give a shout out to our team here. We've got Clara Kniper, Joel Patnod, Lee Rayburn, and Jeff Robbins, and of course, Larry Mueller. I'm Jill Nadeau, executive producer. Make sure you tune in on Monday because we're going to talk about bees and how they help pollinators to pollinate and help communities. And then the weather guys are going to come in. So we can talk to them about if our spring's going to come back real quick or if we're going to be stuck in this winter. Okay, well, thanks. I'm Jill Nadeau, and this is the Larry Mueller Show. Have a great weekend.